Cape Talk, a world view with Adam Gilchrist,
who joins us on the line now from London. A very good morning to you, Adam. We start in Kashmir, shall we? The Indian government denying its special status. It's a crisis, therefore, for them.
I suppose at face value, you kind of wonder what the deal is with this. Why should it matter if you're given special status for a particular region? But because it's Kashmir, that's long disputed and still partitioned part of India / Pakistan, it does matter. It makes a big difference. Essentially, the Delhi government has revoked Article 370. Article 370 gave the Muslim majority state of Kashmir a degree of self-determination. Now, by revoking that, it then means that Kashmir doesn't get the special status, and therefore it will be more, as it were, under Indian control, which will not please some, but will please others, and that's the problem. So immediately that this has happened, all major roads in Kashmir shut, the internet's gone down, there's no mobile phone coverage, there are military or paramilitary groups around on every street corner. In other words, a long-disputed region suddenly has become effectively extra-militarized. I mean, it's already an enormous standoff. And lest we forget, India and Pakistan are two nuclear powers. And how's this for a quote? The Pakistani Foreign Minister, Shah Qureshi, put it, "India is playing a dangerous game which will have serious consequences for regional peace and stability." There's not a sort of if or maybe or doubt about that. It will have serious consequences. So we watch with a little trepidation, I'll say.
We do indeed. A war of words, predictably, I suppose, is playing itself out after the mass shootings in the United States.
Yeah, you're right. I think there is a predictability about this, isn't there? That on the one side, Donald Trump, not really talking about gun laws, although he has mentioned background checks, which does enter into the gun law territory, and suggested essentially that the Democrats need to come more on board with the Republicans. And it's kind of been the other way around. But anyway, Donald Trump does this rhetoric well. He gave a 10-minute speech yesterday, which was quite something. Can you remember the last time Donald Trump did a 10-minute speech that was well-scripted, reasonably argued, had some major bullet points? I can't remember myself. But the only problem is that he seems to put a lot of the blame, as he put it, racism, hatred, and white supremacy have no place in America. But he seems to put a lot of blame on mental health. And there are those who are saying, hang on a moment, you know, this is not to tarnish somebody who has dementia, depression, schizophrenia. You know, let's remember, mental health is not just some broad brushstroke. We're talking about dangerous people who've got these guns, not just those with mental health issues. And talking about it as a plague, that seems to me wide of the mark. It's not a plague, it's not spreading, it's not catching. And I suppose, like a lot of countries, you know, I'm sure you guys do it, we do it here, if you try to address the reasons for violence, or the reasons specifically for an outbreak of violence, more often than not, it's not down to one single issue, and it's not cured by one simple solution. So it needs to be complicated, but I suppose the question is Donald Trump the man to to unravel?
Well, there are many questions pertaining to Donald Trump, aren't there? In Northern Ireland, a very famous firm might be coming to an end as far as shipbuilding is concerned.
Yeah, one of the great names of industry, one of the great names of British industry, certainly, is likely to disappear. At this stage, it's gone into administration. The Harland and Wolff shipyard in Belfast, teetering on the brink of financial oblivion, essentially. This is a shipyard that was founded in 1861. The world, at one stage, the world's most prolific producer of cruise liners. They built the Titanic and its sister ship. During the Second World War, Harland and Wolff made 140 warships and 500 tanks and still had time to make 130 merchant ships. I mean, they used to have a workforce of 30,000. But since the early 1960s, late 1950s, the yard's gone into steady decline. And in fact, they made their last ship 16 years ago, which will tell you if the order books are empty, it doesn't look good. And the problem is for them is that, number one, there are fewer ships about, and number two, there are many cheaper places to build them than Belfast. Sad, though, I mean, not least for the people who are going to lose their jobs.
Adam Gilchrist, they will hold it. Thank you very much indeed. He's back with us tomorrow morning.